Well, it's good to have you here this morning with us. And we're going to be talking about something that is very dear to my heart. Maybe because I did grow up in an age when we were taught to respect. But that was more or less, I'm going to stand today. If you can just get me one of the podiums up there. I appreciate that. Good to see you, Charlie. Good to have Charlie back. They've been to Tainan and they've been having marriage seminars. So actually they've been taking what they've done here and over taking it to China with them. Good. But my respect was a cultural thing that we were taught back then. Just like many of you were taught respect through your family line, which came through your culture. But I think sometimes we have not understood the true value, the true element of respect. We do it because we were taught to. Then sometimes we lose it and we don't do too much of it. But because we're taught to. But you know, I'm learning more in my life that what I'm taught, I keep sometimes, but sometimes depending on society, you can sort of let it go. I'm probably one of the few people that says, yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. I still do. I've had them tell me, no, I'm not a, I said, yes, I give you respect. But that's just me, but it has really just sort of dissolved away in America. You remember when everyone said, probably a lot, yes, ma'am, yes, sir, that kind of thing. So many times we can be taught something, but as time goes on, and it's not used, and it sort of gets lost in the shuffle. But that's why we need something more than what we've been taught as Christians. And this is the thing that I try through these classes to teach us, how to be a Christian with the principles of Christ, because this is what people are looking at for Christians. Isn't it very funny? When you talk to a Muslim, you don't think anything about they don't do this or they don't do that or they don't do the other. But when you talk to a Christian, you're not acting like this. You're not doing it in the Christian way. They have a way of looking at Christians with a great expectation. Now, some of you that are, those of you that are Chinese that have actually didn't know the Lord before you came here or before, that wasn't a part of you. But in America, many times when you do something, they right away say, well, that's not very Christian. You say you're a Christian, you're doing that. Actually, we have turned aside some of the greatest leaders in the world because of our inconsistency and misunderstanding of what Christ expects of us. I guess the greatest place is in India. Mahatma Gandhi, he said as he came over here and he went to the churches and he began to understand the teachings of Christ. And he made the statement, he said, I really love Jesus, the teachings of Christ. But he said, not the Christians because they don't live it. And that's why it's so important for us to understand some of the principles that God puts down for us that as children of God, we can follow. And I think as I look at respect, and like I said, I really revere respect. There's something very, very wonderful about it. It means that we value something. Isn't that right? If we respect it, we value it. And there's something even within us that loves to value some things. You know, I had a girl that I came back. I was in Texas, and she was a young girl. She wanted to come back to a high school, up in a Christian high school up where I was, and when she was home, she manipulated her mother all the time. She got anything she wanted, but she couldn't manipulate her daddy, you know? When she got into Pennsylvania, when she went into the school, the only person she ever talked about, like they were just so wonderful, was daddy. You know why? She respected him. He was firm. He stood for what he believed. She respected him. So that thing called respect is a very wonderful thing within us that as we learn to do it, and I want to tell you something, we are not accountable for anyone else. If nobody in the world respects, we should. We should not think that, well, because they don't respect, I don't respect. No, we have to have our fundamental principle. And believing, and as we see our fundamental principle, and that's why I don't like slides, because I talk too much and I forget my slides. Well, here we are. Here, come on. Whoa, whoa. I'm pointing at me. Oh, wow. Okay. Actually, what we have to do is set up some principles in our life. We're living in a time when there's not many principles. It's everybody do what they think in their own heart. That's actually what we've come to again. Now, there was another time that man lived that way and God sent the flood. And we're doing that today. We have come into everything as relative. We look at things now, well, if you want to believe that way, or but principles is what keeps us on the road. So I want to give you this principle. Christians teach respect beginning with God. The countries that don't respect God usually have some very serious problems, because they have no fundamental understandings and beliefs, only what may come in by the customs. But there is one thing overrunning customs today, and that's money, greed. A lot of people are doing a lot of things that isn't in their custom and over top because of greed. So we have to understand that our basic understanding of respect begins with God. Now, a lot of times we don't think about that much, do we? And we realize that well, maybe there's a God. That's where we find ourselves so many people today. Maybe there's a God. But there has to be within us that very deep faith that there is a God. And we're going to see how that we can really base our hope on that. But now we see that it begins with God and with his attributes. And we understand he's unchanging, all-powerful. We learn that only God is worthy of full respect. He gets all of our respect. We respect God for who he is. For who he is. He's the creator. He's the supreme. He's the one that he is the beginning and the end. He is the one that has the vastness of eternity. You say, Swartz, I can't get my head around that. I can't get my mind around that. I can't quite get hold of that. That's because we are creatures of time. And to us, time is basically all there is. It has to have a beginning. It has to have an end. Everything. But you see, we're in this, we're in the quality of time, in the area of time. But God isn't. That's why we cannot quite understand it. We can't think of anything that didn't have a beginning. Is that right? Very hard. But that's where we have to go beyond. This is why we go beyond that. And what we're going to speak about just a minute, you will see that he says in Romans, you want to know me? First thing we can look at is creation. He said, God created all things. We understand, and this is the thing that we have to understand. evolution came in about 100 years ago. It came in with something, an engine called humanism, because they fit each other. And evolution then has become the religion, in a sense, of the humanists. Everything just popped into place with the Big Bang. And I understand it. I've studied it. I've been going through it lately. And I've been seeing how it's being refuted more and more as the scientific facts of space are coming in. It's not really being able to go by the laws of nature or science. And when DNA came in, it about knocked evolution on the ear. So you say, oh, we live in an old Earth, 180 billion years. That's the age, they say, of the Earth. You say, how do they know? Oh, we have a carbon way of testing and getting it. And you know, they are proving now that cold itself takes very little time when there's been enough heat and enough pressure. They're finding out from the Grand Canyon that they have all these layers, but it's not adding up. They're finding out that there was some kind of tragedy, some type of a colossal tragedy that hit this earth. And with this tragedy came the ability, with the pressure, and all that it has is to make this carbon that they talk about to solidify. And now they're looking, and as we know what happened, the flood. And as they are going over the proponents of the flood, there are so many areas now that can begin to be proven that this kind of a tragedy, this kind of a traumatic thing that happened to the earth can do exactly what it is. You see, little by little, this evolution is going. But you know what evolution did? It took us away from God. It took us away from Him. Our earth, you Chinese say, oh, you used to believe in the God of the heaven for 5,000 years. You had temples. You had just the type of sacrifices that they do in Israel. It's proven. They're proving that. It wasn't until, believe this, it wasn't until about 600 years after Christ died that the Chinese took on another religion. You can go in, and I go into the museums in Taiwan, and I could see that the timeline, it's just that it wasn't until 600 AD that they begin to go to the Taoist thinking. Before this came Buddha over the mountains, Himalaya mountains, and came into China. But you can look at any pottery. You can look at anything that's antique in China. And it will not be until that first century that you'll find one pot or one image with any type of God on it. Why? Because China did not believe that. It wasn't until much later. But because we're people of time, we only see what it is today. But let me tell you, when God said, in Romans, He said, just look at creation. Sometimes I just get some documentaries on the beautiful things of nature and how they are so exquisite. Some in the sea are so beautiful. Some of the butterflies, oh, so many things. And then we have areas of our country that look so beautiful under the curse of sin. What was it like before? So He said, just look at it. No one snowdrop is alike. No one leaf, no fingerprint is alike. Let me tell you, folks, when we dropped God out of our life, we dropped the Creator. The one who has given us. So therefore, when we're this way, we say that his creation was good. That's what he said when he made it. And you know, we've let the environmentalist take over this area. When really, as Christians, we should respect everything that God created. Now, we know in his creation, he had a food chain. He took care of every creature. You say, but they have to kill each other. How can you eat unless you just eat rice or grains? But what I'm saying is, he has so created and so allowed these animals, as they've gone from one family tree to another. Difference here, a little difference there. He has done all of this because, and he has called it good, and he expects us to recognize that good. That's why probably Christians and those that believed in God should have been the first of those who are to take care of the environment. So now we see then his creatures are good. And respect, as I say to the next one, respect is actually due to all that God has created. Since everything, he pronounced everything good. Now, it's something else now that we have to recognize. If it's good, it has value. You know, if I get just a little square little piece, a picture, not much, look like somebody doodling on it. But if down in the corner it has Michelangelo, wow, that piece of paper becomes, make me probably a half a millionaire. Why? Because they respect Michelangelo. He had value. Now that picture may not look so great, but he had value. So what the Word of God is trying to tell us is that everything that God has created has its value. And he has placed a great deal on the value of what he has made. And so I think that as we think about that, begin to understand that what we owe this respect to God's creation. So we see everything that God created has value. We are the ones that feel judge ourselves worthy and able to judge the value of a person by what I think. We have a lot of people in this world deformed. Some of them grossly deformed. We have those that are retarded. We have those that have some very mental problems. Hitler didn't value them at all. Those were the kind he wanted to get rid of. He wanted a master race. And then we see that men, if you will go back in history, you'll see in England and places like that, they would have their lunatic asylums and the pitiful things that would go on there because there was no value put on them. Now you say, but Sister Schwartz, after all, they're not productive. They can't do much, but that doesn't make any difference to God. He created them with value because man is very valuable to him. So this is what we begin to see is the steps or whatever you want to call it. We respect God very much. We humble ourselves before him. I'm that little vessel he made. He's the one that did it. I'm just a little vessel. But he looked at that little vessel and he said, you know, it's got worth. It's got value. And he, through our lives, dealt with us without us even realizing it. Taking us through things that, if I could tell you how many times that I could have been killed in accident. One time I was in the dorms, sleeping. And the downstairs, the gas heater, something happened to it, and the fumes are all coming up into my room. And somebody came in time to get me out. I tell you, you know, lots of things that happens in life to us. But you know, God counts us as valuable. I want to tell you, today we talk about our self-value. It's because the world has actually taken away the value from us because they took away God. And so as we look at this, you and I have to remember then that everything has value. And when I think of how he treats us with value, and when we have a valuable object, we treat them well. There was a program on the internet, which I'm sure it was much been on television, but I get it after it's all years later. But anyhow, it was where they would come and we bring something that they wonder was valuable, and they had these people that would look at it and value it, you know. And I can remember how some would come and they think this was not much of anything, and they tell them it was worth $50,000. And they said, oh, I'll value that. Before it was just something that grandmother handed down. But now there came great value because there was great money behind it. So we see then, when we have something that's valuable, we treat it very well. When we value people, we will treat them well. Respect recognizes value. That's where respect comes in. When we respect something because we recognize value. But we have to understand that what I'm trying to say, the premise of our respect is God. And because God made it, we respect it. Man feels like their premise is, well, I respect it if it shows itself valuable. If I get something out of it that's valuable, I'll respect it. But that's not the way with God. He's trying to tell us, as his children, everything I made is valuable, and every man that I put on this earth is valuable. Now, I grew up in a mission. That's where we have a lot of the poorer people came. For 19 years, we were on one street corner. My mother and groups, I mean the church. We preached there, we sang there, and we have lots of people would listen. But it seemed like there was a whole group of them called drunkards. And of course, we were on the street and they'd come out of the bar and they were a little tippy. But I really believe God gave me what I call the drunk appeal. Most all of them, when they came and they gravitate to me, I was the one they would come talk to. But you know, I'm very grateful for that. Because I learned that people are valuable. They've thrown a lot away. They've degraded themselves. But in God's sight, they're valuable. And so the Lord taught me to value them. Then, as my life progressed, I went to teaching. And I went to teach what we call special children. Those that had special problems, Down syndrome, all of that. And I had classes of them. Now, when you see a Down syndrome child, if you're around them very much, they all have sort of a look-alike. They have features that look alike. And we have this idea that they all act alike. But that's not true. I found out that while I was teaching them, they had very different personalities. They had some very sweet ways. In my little group, they had some compassion. I learned to respect those that have mental problems. You see, this is what makes life worthwhile. If we don't respect, we lose something. I know today, and I have it very strongly too, of not trusting people. And when we do have that thing that we don't trust people, and that's, I mean, you can't trust the workers that come, you don't, and when you're a woman, it's even worse. I had a friend of mine, dear old lady, she was going up north, and something happened to her car. And before she got finished, that mechanic had gotten her to buy another car. Probably not much wrong with hers. But you see, if we get to the place where it seems like this is a way of life. But you know, I think God doesn't want us to enter into that, to fight it as much. Now, we go into it. I go into it now with more care about finding out for sure what they're doing. Before, I just thought, oh, let them go. They'll do what. But the fact is that we as God's children cannot live a life that is empty. We have to learn to be wise. Wise as serpents, harmless as doves. But I think we don't need to take on the deep problems today of how we don't care about each other. We don't trust each other. Do you think anybody over in Israel area and in the Palestinian area cares much about it for each other? They're just pushing their bombs over, killing innocent people, both sides. Our care is very little today. And so we as a Christians, these are the things that make us beautiful. These are the things that gives a foundation to a person. These are the things that make us into a kind of person that people can look at and know there is something different. And that's what he's asking us to be. Now, let's go on just a little bit more. We have to understand, though, God has been very, what shall I say? Oh, they get back there. See, I tell you, I can't work these things. Got that one. Ah, there it is. And so we see that God has given us a will. A will that is shown out very early in our life. Dorothy's little granddaughter today had some kind of little type of thing she was eating. Dorothy was afraid that she was going to take off too much. She tried to get that. No! You know, she has a will of her own. Her grandmother never could get it. Ethan learned how to say no very early. How about your children? Did they come out saying yes? So you see, this power of choice is very much a part of us. Why do you think we've had wars and like the Revolutionary? We had a power. We wanted to have the power of choice. It's innate in man, seemingly, because it is. God is God-given. So then we have this power to respect or not to respect. It's in our hands. God's not going to come and shake us and say, respect this one, respect that. No, it's our choice. We know the principle. It's our choice. So we have to recognize, Lord, I want to do what you want me to do. I want to make good choices. Bad choices is when we turn away from people. Do you know there's whole families that for years have never enjoyed watching grandchildren growing up? Never enjoyed having a brother and sister relationship after they got older? They've had nothing but turning from each other, arguing with each other, looking down on each other. What have they missed? They've missed a lot. And when we do this kind of thing, we miss a lot. And so God is saying that He wants us to live a full life. He understands man. There was one place He said, I know what's in man. I sort of like that one. It makes me think He looks at it and says, oh, I know what's in them. So actually, but He said, I came to give you an abundant life, a full life. So then we are the ones that have to be we have to have a choice. Now you say, how do I respect and recognize value? Well, it doesn't come easy. It doesn't really come easy. It means a lot of self-discipline. Remaining calm under pressure. How many of us would not have had the many arguments, the many problems, if we had kept calm under pressure? You say, you can't do that. If I value something, if I really value, that's why I think in marriages, this is the cancer of marriage. It's when we lose respect for each other. It's when we no longer value each other. But you say, you don't know what they did to me. But the Lord's telling us, we do it out of principle because this is God's creation and we want to do and be what God wants us to be. You say, should I be a mat and let them tread on me? No, there are ways of confronting. There are ways of talking to each other. There are ways of showing this respect. You know, it's just funny. In at work, somebody can make you so angry. But in most of us, we know how to hold it in, at least until we get home. And when we get home, we begin to blow up over everything. And sometimes I wonder, these are the traits, and these are the habits that keep us from really enjoying and understanding our relationship to one another. Value. Begin to value the person by valuing their opinions. You know, each of us have opinions. Ladies, men really have opinions. Sometimes they get so mad at you they won't say anything about it. Sometimes they get so rough with you that they'll really explode it on you. And men, ladies have opinions too. And so what we're understanding now, I want to be respectful. I want to learn the value of respect. So I'm going to listen to others' opinions. Now, I want to tell you, I have found this to be a tremendous thing in my life. I thank God that I was never a person that felt my way was the right way, and if you don't have my way, it's the highway. Because God has put me in leadership almost from the time I was in my early 30s. And every position I've had has been leadership, and I'm not a leader. But God put me there because I can listen to opinions. And I have gone into board meetings because I wanted to, you know, this is what you do as a pastor. You go into board meeting with some of the plans that you want. So you list out all your plan. You have it all there thinking, this will be a good way. I like to do this, and this is the way I like to do it. And you go into board meeting, and you start out. And then you'd have somebody say, and then they begin to give their opinions. And as they would give their opinions, I began to see, yeah, they're right. I think it would do better that way. And that is what has helped me down through the years. And when we learn that we can listen to other people's opinion because they are valuable, they're made in God's image. They may not have some of the background. They may not have some of the culture. They may not have some wisdom, even education. But we have to learn how to be able to listen to other people's opinion. You may be surprised what it can do for you. But that's where respect comes in. And then we have to realize we practice a policy of honesty. I had a friend, and she was the secretary of the governor in the Cayman, in the Antigua. She was so thorough. Everything she spent, she wrote down. I'm talking about her own life. She was so thorough. And she was just so, she had all the organization I didn't have. And I thought to myself, Jerry, if I had $1 million, you could take care of it. I knew how honest she was. I knew her, you know, that type of thing. When we are honest, people will respect us. It's something that even in business, that once they know you're honest, they have you, they tell somebody else about, listen, I know him, I can trust him. And so this must become the policy, because we value others and we value ourselves because God made us. Then we have to see that admitting when you make a mistake. Oh, that's a difficult one. But that's about all. We don't come out to say it. Even if we are admitting it, we mumble. And we're admitting it. It's sort of, we have to sort of just find a good way to admit it, that I don't seem to get bad face. But you know, when you can admit I'm wrong, even to your children, they respect that. And that shows you respect them. You have to understand that you should model respect to your children. And if you're going to model respect, you must respect them. No, I didn't say not punish them. No, you must discipline them. But remember, they're a little person. They have feelings. And when you snap at them sometimes, particularly when you don't know if they're wrong, this is the problem. We blame, you have two children, this one's always in trouble. But then this one did something, and you blame it on the one always in trouble. So actually, we have to understand that respect gains respect. And you and I have to learn how to humble ourselves even before our children. I learned that. Not before my children. But I was a principal. And I remember one boy, he pushed my bell. Everything. He would trip people. He would do all kinds of things. And I would get so upset with that boy. And one day I brought him in and I really got a little rough with him. And afterwards I thought, oh, that's not it. So I went to him and I said, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have acted that way. You know, when we humble ourselves to these, people really respect. There's something in us that says to them, I know I'm just human. I know that I need to recognize that together we're working. And sometimes when you can go back, the trouble is sometimes you just don't bother to humble yourselves to ask for forgiveness. But it really works. It really helps us. But you know, to gain respect takes time. It's a process. I go into a work. Immediately, they don't particularly respect me. Sometimes they try you to see what you're going to be like. But then as you go around and as you work, as you go on, and as you show them, before long, there is a respect in their hearts for you. And as we build this respect, which takes time, we are showing the power of Christ in us to respect all that God has created, particularly his greatest creation, man. And so then it tells us, you know, let nothing be done through selfishness. What we're doing is we're letting ourselves be seen not as something special. We're all special. We're all valuable. But we don't look and esteem ourselves better than someone else. Have you had anybody look at you that way? I have. I remember being on an elevator. And we were going up in the elevator, and then they had, you know, some of those floors that you had to have a key to get up to that point. And I remember we were going up, and this girl was standing there. She looked so proud, and she just had that look about her as she put her key in. Just small things, but many times, you see, so we understand that. But we are to be the kind of person that respects and not esteem ourselves better than others. Now you look at one time, Dorothy and I, well, I've met many, but in Taiwan, we went to the train station. And of course, in Taiwan, train stations are very busy. And there was this man who was retarded or mentally ill or whatever it was, maybe under drugs or something. And people were afraid of him. They didn't want to go near. They didn't want to go touch him. But somehow, I didn't feel that that was right. And I went over and I spoke to him and patted him on the back. Why? Not because I thought he was great. He probably wasn't even very intelligent. But he was one of God's creation. And when we do that, there is something inside of a person, you know how you feel, that lifts you up. When somebody comes, have you ever had anybody come and say to you, I really respect you? If they do, you'll find out that thing just lifts you up. And that is what God has said for we as children of God. We are to lift one another up, not put them down. We are to try to find the good side of God's tremendous creation. You say, old Sister Schwartz, that's too hard. That's ridiculous. No, I believe it would help each one of us. And then I want to say this. We can't trust everybody. We know that. But we can learn to trust again. This comes in marriage. The cancer of marriage. When somebody does something that you lose trust in them. And so we can choose not to trust. And again, as I said before, we may lose a lot of relationship. But we can, when we make up our mind, and there are steps that we can go through this, I'm just going over. But when we make up our mind that I will trust again, little by little, as that person will try to build up trust, God will help us to trust them again. So I hope today you can take from here this principle that we are all valuable in God's sight and that you and I are our brother's keepers. We are to encourage one another. We are to lift one another up, not push them down. They did something I didn't like, so I just pushed them down. I don't like their opinions. I don't accept every opinion, but we listen. Courteous, we respect. Now, this may be a lesson that we could sit and talk about together, and you could probably tell me what sorts of this is too hard. It's only hard when you want to do your own way. But when we take the principles of God, we begin to enjoy it. It becomes a true part of us. We don't miss anybody. When we respect people, we don't miss. We can enjoy different ones. I love Down syndrome children. They are the cutest things this side of a carnival. I love them. They could do little things that I remember one time in class I was teaching. And I had a little boy named, I think his name was Paul. And as I was teaching, he was pulling my dress, new dress, one I really liked. And I pulled my dress and I said, wait a minute, Paul, I'm helping this one, because you had to do one by one. So finally I got to Paul. Paul looked at me with that beautiful smile and a pair of scissors, and he had cut my dress. But he looked at me so precious. Such a smile, like he had really, really accomplished something. But I learned to love them very much. I had a little boy that was, he was Down syndrome. And the boys' bathrooms didn't have any doors on them. That was that time. And he wouldn't go to the boys' bathroom. He wanted to go to the girls' bathroom where they had doors. So every time I couldn't find him, I'd have to go to the girls' bathroom to look for him. But I loved them, and I respect them for what they were. Enjoyed them. And you see, that's the thing. We can learn to enjoy one another when we value. God bless you. It's dinner time. My dear brother and his wife is going to be back next week, and they're going to start their lessons again. But I appreciate you listening to me. And now go get your cup of coffee. See you now. God bless. Well, I got through that one.